I said, look across the room. That's a lot of young people here. I would almost guess we have almost 200 people in this room. This is bigger than some of the smaller conferences we go to. Now, I sometimes get carried away when I talk, and I think I was told I have hour and a half before curfew. So, no? Oh, I guess I heard wrong on that, eh? So I thought some of you have to remind me when the hour and a half mark come along. No, I think we were told to have about half an hour or so. So if I get too far past the 20 minutes mark, maybe someone can remind me on that. That sounds fair. You're nodding your head. I'm glad. Good thing this is casual, right? Relax. How would I start with this? I normally, in young people hymn sing, I like to divide people into groups, but I think this is too big to control that. Some of you probably remember Scranton when we did that with three groups. It turned into quite a bit of fiasco. So perhaps I would do a little bit of speaking tonight, because I find when it comes to evening like this, I'm tired to listen, so I don't know about you. Now, do something for me. If the person next to you started nodding their head to agree with me, you have to help me out and give them a little jab just to make sure that either they're really agreeing with me or just resting their eyes. I was thinking of a passage here. Perhaps we can turn to that first. In 1 Samuel, well, before we even read this, maybe I'll talk a little bit of why I think about that. Young people, this is what this is for. How many of us feel we're still young people here? I am. Well, as young people, I don't know if you ever feel this. We've been told that the Lord has something for us to do. Have you been told that? There's something He wants us to do, but sometimes we don't know what it is, and it seems that we've been told that a long time ago. So I thought tonight perhaps we can look at someone who was told that he's going to do something great, but he seems to have waited and waited and waited before he get to do it. You know what I mean by that? Do you feel that? Now, before you can even understand that, I don't know a lot of you. You know, in the East Coast, I look down the crowd. I know most of the young people there. Here, I can still recognize many of the faces. My concern about talk like this is just this, that many, well, perhaps I should use the word some, are still lost. We had the gospel before us not long ago. If you are still lost and do not have the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, what we talk about tonight wouldn't really matter to you. So before you learn anything else, you must have the Lord Jesus as your own Savior. Put Him on the front, as we were reminded tonight, will not help you. We need Him as our Savior first. Now, I'd like to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. There is a young fellow that I want to talk about. His name is David. Part of the reason I like to talk about that is I think he has a very nice name. David has a little bit of a problem. You know, David, in this chapter, was supposed to be anointed as king. And the problem I see here is this. His own brethren, including his father, didn't think anything of him. Can you associate with that? And now, why do you think I say this? Well, let's read a couple of the verses and see my rendition of it and see if it's close. Well, we know Samuel came looking for someone to anoint in this chapter. And we know he'd gone through his brothers. So let's go right down for the sake of time. We'll start at verse 9. Then Samuel made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen thee. So here we see Samuel gone through one after the other. Seven more gone past. No, not the right one. And then he have to ask this question. Verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. Well, I think of it this way. This is my rendition. It's almost like when he's asked, they go, oh yeah, there is still a David out there. Do you ever feel that? You have been forgotten? You know, his own brothers, his own father. Look how important this is. He's looking for a king to anoint. Oh, no, yeah, that David, that's right. He's still out there. Well, we know the following verses, that David was brought in, verse 12. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Well, that was nice, isn't it? Now, I know some of us would think that, you know, we've been forgotten. You know, like David. Oh, they're doing the dirtiest job possible, and they've forgotten that he should have been the king. And the part that we remember is, we are ruddy. We're withal a beautiful countenance, right? Look at me. And they forgot about me. Well, nevertheless, the Lord anointed David. Well, young people, you all been here, have been given or been told you have been made both kings and priests. You're going to be a king. No, you are a king. Do you feel that? Now, look at David here. After he was anointed, do you know what happened to him? Did they move him to the palace? Did Samuel said to Saul, bring in the chariots and bring in this new king? I don't think we read of that here, do we? In fact, David, if you look at it, I think if you keep going to 2 Samuel, and I think it's not until the 7th chapter. If you keep going down there, let me see if I can find this here. In 2 Samuel, further down into 2 Samuel, I'm sorry, I lost my place here now. In the 5th chapter, before he was reigning as king, when he was 30 years old, somewhat 15, 16 years later. So what happened in between as this boy David anointed to be the king, just like you are? You have been made kings and priests. Well, let's go back to the 16th chapter. What do we know about David here? Well, let's see now. The latter part of chapter 16, Saul, we know that, he got in a lot of trouble. And he needs someone to play music for him. And someone suggested, oh yeah, remember that Jesse's son? We heard him playing harp out there. Yeah, I think he's pretty good, you know. So they bring him in. And that tells us what David was doing. So let's go down to verse 19. Wherefore Saul sent messenger unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. So what did David do after he was anointed king? He gone back to look after sheep. That's a lowly job. I mean, this is for kids that really have no skills, right? He's out there. I mean, we read later on his brothers are big and strong. They go to war. And David was sent to send them some supplies for them. So David, anointed, back to this old, dirty job. Well, you know, just like us here. How many of you come to a conference like this? You get all excited. You learn things. And you encourage one another. You watch your friends. They all want to go on for the Lord. And you want to go on for the Lord too. You know what I mean by that? And then come Monday, we'll go back to school. Oh boy. That's another world again, isn't it? And all that excitement is gone. Well, you know, the Lord allowed that. You see, in David's case, he was set, anointed as king. But the Lord knew that he wasn't ready. He has to go to school, in a sense. What did he have to learn beforehand? Well, let's see now. Who can help me? I'm looking for the chapter where he's going to fight Goliath. Now, some of you know these verses well. And Saul said to him, how are you going to fight this big man Goliath? And David then has to bring out his credentials. It's almost like bringing out his report and say, hey, I can handle this guy. And because I went to school in the backside of the desert, right? What did he do? In the meantime, he learned, well, maybe I'll tell you, in 17th chapter here, we find out in between these times These are some of the many things that David has to learn because it will come in handy later. So let's see in verse 33. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." Well, how many times have you been told that? You can't handle that. You're still a kid. And these guys are so seasoned about it. And David, in verse 34, said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God." And David said, "Moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and out of the paw of the bear he shall deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." So David pulled out his credential. What did he do? He learned how to wrestle bears. Now, how many of you get to do that? Not too often, eh? Well, you know, there are a lot of things that you get to learn in the meantime. He learned to fight lions. He learned to handle bears. He learned to handle sheep. He need to be gentle with those that need to be gentle. He need to know how to fight something that came as fierce as a lion and as a bear. And you know what else you have to learn? You have to learn how to jump out of the way of javelins coming at him too. You know, there are many things he had to learn. And through all these years, David learned. For some 15, 16 years, the Lord put him quietly on the side, learning the skills required, so that when it's the rightful time for him to do his work, in this case, as a king, he was able to do it. Now, what are we to do? What are we to do? Well, I'd like to turn to a verse in, I think it's in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're young people here. We have school to learn. We have things to learn from school. But we also need to learn from the school of God too. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says here, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Oh, is that important? Very much so, isn't it? You know, in school we study a lot of things. Some of you learn it through the academic side, and maybe some of you learn it through doing things hands-on, but you go to school to learn something. Here, we're told to study. Study to show thyself approved unto man. Am I right in saying that? No, it says unto God. And you know, the reason I use the word man is we'll find often we do things to please our friends. Do we? Yeah, we do, don't we? Because we're afraid that they're going to say something if we do it differently than what other people do. But here, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Learn to rightly dividing the word of God. It's getting late. We won't expound on that, but I want to go on just a little bit more. Some of you, well, all of us, come from various backgrounds. Am I right in saying that? I'm sure here in the West Coast here, it's different than from where we are. Right? Things are better in the East Coast, right? Oh, that's all relative, I guess. Right? Some of you are from Canada, you know it's better there, right? I mean, we have to trade, what, 10 inches of snow to come down here for this 60, 75 degree weather? Well, I didn't mind that. No, I say that jokingly, but we all grew up differently. So some of you might say, but you don't understand. When I go home, it's so different. Am I right in saying that? You know, when I go to school, it's so different. You don't understand. It's easy here when everybody speaks the same language. Everybody would encourage us to go on with the Word of God. Well, we have to learn that the Lord put us in different situations because He wants you to shine for them. You know, sometimes I thought of this. How come the Lord doesn't put us all together? Wouldn't it be nice that we're all together all the time? We don't have to face the world. But I remember a brother spoke on this one time at Sunday school. He said, have you ever noticed in most cities they have street lights? You know, I flew into here last night. It only took us about 13 hours on a 3-hour flight. We get to see overhead what L.A. is like. We see street lights all over the place. And he said, something funny about street light is that he said, I haven't seen a place where they gather all the street lights and put them in one spot. I said, can you imagine if we put them all in one spot, how bright that would be? Well, you're laughing, but you know what I'm trying to say there, don't you? The Lord wants us to shine for them. We are to be a testimony for Him wherever we are. That's why we're here. Now, we have about 10 more minutes. You still awake? Okay, I promise that they'll give you some goodies after this. Okay, if you stay awake for 10 more minutes. I like to look at a few more kings and see how perhaps from different family, different backgrounds, see if things would be different. And I like to first look at in 2 Chronicles. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. Let's start at chapter 25. By the way, the example I'm going to use, doesn't matter which king we're going to use, you'll find we find similar things. As you know, there are 21 kings of Judah, and only six or eight of them that are good, and many were evil. And there are about 21 kings of Israel, and none of them the Word of God speak of anything good about. And we can learn a lot of lessons from these kings. Now, I'm just going to go through it very briefly. We're not going to go through 21 of them in 10 minutes. So we'll just pick a few. Chapter 25. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. Verse 2. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, I just picked this king to start somewhere. So we know, here's him. Look at him as a father, because I want to look at his son afterwards. So here's one who walked rightly before God. Yes, we know he will have some faults too. But here we know that basically the Lord told us that he walked rightly before God. So I like that as an example for many of us here who grown up in a Christian home where your parents walk rightly before God. Am I right in saying that? Many of you have the privilege from a very nice home. Now, his son, chapter 26, his son's name is Uzziah. Now, what do we know of Uzziah? Well, let's just read a little bit of that. Uzziah, verse 4, chapter 26, 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, verse 4. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Oh, isn't that nice? We see one walk the same way as his father before the Lord. And we can look around us and you can find some of your friends did just that. You can see he's just like his father. He walked right before the Lord. Now, Uzziah got a lot of problems, even though he walked right. Look at the next verse, verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, I said he has a problem. Did that verse sound very bad about Uzziah? I don't think so. Was I wrong in that? Well, let's look at it again. You see, he did that was right before God, and he sought God in the day of Zechariah. That's nice, isn't it? And we ought to. And that's why we're here at a conference as this. That's why we're here in a young people get together. It's the fact that we want to encourage you to seek the Lord, to walk in a way pleasing to Him. But here is a little catch. He did it as long as Zechariah liveth. Without Zechariah's encouragement, we find later on he didn't walk right before the Lord. Do you need to walk because somebody else is holding you? We need to pay close attention to that. Are we walking before the Lord because we want to seek the Lord? He was raised in a nice home. He walked right, and we find, and we're not here to find fault with the servants of the Lord. We find later on that it got to his head, and he sinned. But nevertheless, he was considered a good king. So now we see a father raise a son who walked before the Lord. Let's go to the 27th chapter. Now, does that mean that the tradition would carry on? Now, let's look at Amaziah's son, Uzziah's son. By the way, I didn't make a mistake when I say son. You'll find in scriptures often when they say son, it could mean grandson too. And that's the way scripture worded. So just as a side comment there. Now, chapter 27. And Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign. Verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Oh, isn't it nice? Here's a father, a son, and a grandson all walk in the way. Isn't it nice? But some of you are saying, wait a minute, my family's not like that. Well, let's see if God tells us more. Again, well, I'm just going to jump now to chapter 28. His son Ahaz. Ahaz was 20 years old. Now remember, this is from a godly genealogy. The great-grandfather, the grandfather, the father. Now come the son Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. Well, I think some of you are, in fact, quite a few here would be in that age group, wouldn't it? 20 years old, young as he can be. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. Oh, now the next part, read it carefully, it's sad. He did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord like David, his father. How sad. David has to go to school, remember, to learn. Here, when we get to his great-great-great-grandson, even though his father, his grandfather, and great-grandfather before him walk rightly before the Lord, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 3. Verse 2. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images of Balaam. Moreover, he burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burned his children in fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Oh, how sad to see someone who know what the truth is. He did that was wrong before God. He worshiped other gods. He let his friends take over, and he walked like his friends, the other kings of Israel who worshiped Balaam. He even sacrificed his own children by fire. Oh, how sad to see that. Well, now you may say that. Some of you may say, yeah, you know, my family was like that. I didn't have the proper upbringing as many of you do. Well, does that change anything? Now let's look at his son real quick. Let's go to chapter 29. Hezekiah. His son Hezekiah. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. Verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Of the Lord according to all that David his father hath done. Well, what did Hezekiah's father did that was so wrong, Ahaz himself? Let's look at what Hezekiah did, and you'll see that what his father did. I'm going to jump right down to verse 6. For our fathers that's Hezekiah's father, have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitations of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch, and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Well, we knew he worshipped other gods. So here, Hezekiah listed three things and that we have to be very careful with. He said, his father shut up the doors of the porch. He put out the lamp and he stopped burning incense in the house of the Lord. So what does that all that mean? Shut up the doors of the porch. Well, he stops people from approaching the temple. Uh-oh, some of you are bobbing. You've got to jab your friends for me. No? Anyway, he shut the door of the temple. He put out the lights, the lamps. Now, we know the lamb. If you just study the Word of God, it speaks of the Holy Ghost because they use oil lamb, and the oil speaks of just that. So they stay away from the church, from the temple. They rejected the Holy Ghost for helping them, and they stop doing burnt offerings. Burnt offering speaks of the offering to God about our Lord Jesus Christ, the perfectness and everything of him ascended to God. So in our today's term is, we don't go to meeting anymore. We don't want to have the Spirit to lead us. We want nothing to do with Christ. Well, Hezekiah has to revert all that. Even though his father did evil and turned all the people away because of that, he did to open up. So if you have a family that's different, well, it is still up to you to follow after our God. Now, there are many examples we can go through with these kings, and you'll find whether they are good parents or have bad parents, you find that it doesn't really matter. Every one of them has to sought the Lord according to the way of God. Well, what lesson is there for us? The lesson really is this. Regardless of your family background, regardless of your friends, what are you to do? You know, a question was raised, if you remember, our brother Chuck mentioned, all this thing that we talk about, how is that going to affect your life? Now, this is Friday. This is a long conference. You have Saturday and Lord's Day. Come Monday. Is this going to change? No, if you wait till Monday to change, it may be too late. When you go back to your room tonight, what are you going to do that could change how you walk before God and man? And don't look at your friends first, because sometimes one of the worst things we have are friends. You know, friends, we need friends. Don't get me wrong on that. But sometimes friends can hinder us more so. What are you to do? Now, I'm going to quote one more verse, because I think I just ran over time by 1 minute there. I'd like to turn to one more verse in Philippians. Is it okay if I spend 2 more minutes? You okay with that? All right. Now, all this thing that we talked about, I know many of you already know this. You find that when you come to a conference sometimes, you really say to yourself, I didn't learn a lot of things new, but I have been reminded a lot of things that I have learned but have forgotten. Am I right in saying that? You know, a lot of it's not new. Well, this is what the Apostle Paul say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. And I think many of you can appreciate the first part of this verse. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Can you associate with that? the things that you have both learned, received, heard, and seen in me. You know, sometimes people will say, look at that speaker. He's saying the same thing over and over and again. I remember a brother was at our place last week, and he was making fun. I guess we all do. We make fun of certain brothers. We try to do imitation of certain ones, right? And he said about this brother, he says, oh boy, this is the seventh time I heard him talk about his granddaughter. Well, that's, you know, sometimes it's hard to say the same thing, right? But anyway, here is just things that you have both heard and learned and received and heard and seen. It's not new things. You know it. And some of you can stand up here and preach better than many of us can. And I'm sure you do an imitation at home when you play, don't you? And even with the right accent at times. But this verse did not stop there. There's one little word. It has only two letters in it. And it's the toughest word to follow. Did you notice I stopped before that word? Do you know what that word is? What is it? What?
Do.
Christianity is an action word. It's not just all talk, is it? Faith and works is together, isn't it? These things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. If you want to see a change in your life, you need to do. You need, first thing to do is not what you're going to do, is to be on your knees before the Lord and ask Him what He wants you to do. And I believe that would be a very good start. Let's commend ourselves.